changed her mind. Okay, that's all right. She'd rather stay here to listen to me, right? Okay. All right, take your Bibles this morning as we look into Matthew chapter 5. We know that chapter 5, 6 and 7 is the Beatitudes. And I don't know about you, but I love reading these three chapters. Because this is the first recorded message that Jesus himself spoke at a needed time. And what a needed time it is in our lives today to hear how blessed we are by God. And he wants to bless us even more. So follow along with me as I read Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountains, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, I'll stop there on verse 5 in order to be able to fulfill a message on all of those. It would take a while, so I'm going to start with the first 5 this morning, because these first 5 tells us collectively and individually how we are blessed by the Lord. It reminds me of a little girl who, she and her family were on their way home from church, and she had listened to the pastor's message about Jesus and how God wants to show through our lives. So she asked her mother, "Is it true what the pastor said this morning, that God is bigger than all of us?" And she said, "Yes, that's true, my dear." Then he said that God is so big that he could hold the world in his hands. And mother said, "Yes, that is true." Then the pastor said that God came and he wants to live in our hearts. He gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to live within us. And the mother said, "Yes, that's true. Everything that the pastor said this morning was true." And she said, "Well, my question is this. If God is bigger than us, he could hold the world in his hands, and he came to live our lives, wouldn't he show through us?" Isn't that interesting how a perspective that a child would understand that when Christ comes into our life, when we accept him as our personal Savior, that he comes to live within our lives. It's interesting that the Beatitudes are about God showing through. It's always been God's purpose that when he entered our lives, he would be allowed to so fill and live through our lives that he would show through, like the little girl stated. That he would be visible in our attitudes and our actions. And that's what Jesus was wanting the people there as they gathered around, the multitudes, and his disciples were there. Jesus had been proclaiming that he was the Son of God and that he came to live in their lives, to live through their lives. Now, it's hard for us to comprehend that, try to live the Christian life. And Jesus actually was telling the disciples they could not live the Christian life unless they abide in him. John chapter 15 tells us that Jesus is the vine, we're all the branches, and if we abide him, in him, Jesus being the true vine, that we would bear fruit. And here, Jesus is trying to calm the spirits of the people, of the Jews, of the disciples, because the scribes and Pharisees and everything had put so much pressure on them trying to live up to the law. Jesus said, you know, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Fulfill it through my life. And what God is wanting to do through my life, I'm passing on to you. And that's why he says, I never do anything except what is initiated from my Heavenly Father. So, that Christ himself would be allowed to live through us. The Beatitudes are the light bulb. That's what I think. You know, on in this chapter, it talks about that we ought to be light. But we, you know, Christ himself is the Beatitudes, as he was proclaiming that day, is the light bulb that only shines, you know, when we're plugged into his power, right? We got to be plugged in. And I want to ask you some interesting questions this morning as I was thinking about this message, about how God is to shine or show or live through our lives. How would life be different if Jesus were to come and take your place here on earth? If he came here to live your life, what if he took your place in the home? What would your home look like? Be nice, wouldn't it? Really nice. It'd be perfect. What if he performed your work on a job? You'd probably get all kind of raises, wouldn't you? You'd be making all the right decisions. You would have all the right attitudes. You would be encouraging, comforting, be compassionate. Yes. And our young people, what if he sat in your desk at school? You'd be making straight A's, right? Everybody would be making straight A's. What if he filled my place here in this pulpit? You say, I'd like to see that, wouldn't you? I would too. Yet that's exactly what he wants to do, to live within me, to mortify the carnal works of this body, to master circumstances of my life, to manifest his character, minister to others whom my life and your life touches every day. That's what Christ is proclaiming here in the Beatitudes. And it said in the third verse, blessed are the poor in spirit. See, Jesus was exactly that. He was poor in spirit. Although he was Almighty God, with all the rights and the privileges of deity, he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. You see, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's what Jesus meant when he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And then he said, blessed are those who mourn. See, Jesus mourned. And there's more than one way to look at this. He mourned and he wept at Lazarus' death. He wept over Jerusalem because of their sins and because of their waywardness. He was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And Jesus was saying also, blessed are those who mourn, those who look within their lives and see the sin. And that's what the Pharisees should have picked up on this, and the scribes. They should have picked up on that. Said, blessed are you when you mourn over your sinfulness, over your rejection of me as the true Messiah. Blessed are you who recognize and mourn because of your life that you live. See, that's what Peter did, wasn't it? When he denied Christ three times. And now I'm sure that Peter, he picked up on that. Blessed are you, Peter. Blessed are you who mourn when you recognize you've done wrong. When you recognize that you made a big mistake or you sinned and you ask forgiveness. And Jesus said, blessed are the meek. See, he hungered and he thirsted after righteousness. He was merciful. Measure the life of Christ by these qualities, and you will find that he modeled them all. And I'm convinced that this is not a description of the Christian man, but it's a description of man, of the man of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And as he was, while he was on this earth, so he become, as we yield our lives to him. So why should we study this today? I thought about this. Why should we study the Beatitudes? Why should we look at the blessedness and the happiness of what Jesus is talking to here? And the answer is the first word of this verse, almost every verse said, blessed. Jesus got our attention from the get-go. We want to be blessed. Every one of us want to be blessed, don't we? And we want the heavenly blessings. Now, not of this earth, not of what we see physically, but the things that we can experience spiritually, those are the things that will stay with you through this life. These are the things that you will remember. These are the things that will bring you up out of the gutters and set you on solid ground that you might see God's glory. That's why Isaiah in chapter 6 said, hallelujah, woe is me, high and lifted up. When he was in the temple, when he saw the glory of God, high and lifted up. So here's what others will see when God shows through my life and through yours. First of all, a happy person. On a daily basis, as you meet people, do you ever notice anything about their countenance, their look? If they look happy or at peace. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. You will be a happy person. This is the first sermon in the New Testament, having been preached by Jesus. And it began with a promise of happiness. Nine times, the voice of Jesus reached out to the multitudes seated on that hillside. And people who were oppressed, and when I say oppressed, they was oppressed politically by the scribes and Pharisees. They was oppressed socially and economically with the offer of genuine happiness. And that's why Jesus' first message started out, blessed are you. If these are part of the qualities and character of your life. And then, happiness. It's an uncommon feeling in our world today because so many people in this world is searching for something to fulfill them, and they're not looking at the spiritual aspect of what God wants to offer, but they're looking at what the world can give. And that's why the whole world is depressed, isn't it? Because they're looking to man or they're looking to government. They're looking for some high authority. And one man is not going to do it in this world, right? You line all the men up in this world. You can line all the women, all the people in this world, and you'll never find true happiness to fulfill what God's plan is, because He is in control. So it's an uncommon feeling. See, the world, the word translated blessed is makakros. Happiness is a common desire for every one of us. Yet so few people seem to have it that we put it in the same category of a four-leaf clover or a pot of gold at the end of a rainbow, the elusive and unattainable. Just, what, last week or week before last, you know, all the rain we've been getting. And I don't know if you've been looking up into the heavens and the skies and so forth, but you'll see a double rainbow. And you say, and the old saying is, from I'm a child, there's a pot of gold at that rain, at the end of that rainbow. And I've had them so close. I've had them so close, even I told Brenda one day, let's drive and see where this thing ends. Of course, I know there's no pot of gold there, but just the beauty of it all the way across the sky. But you see, things like that are unattainable. But the happiness that we have in our life is attainable through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Happiness is an unexpected offer. Chuck Swindoll, in his book, Simple Faith, made the following observation after noting that Jesus used 9 back-to-back announcements of blessings. Chuck said, having endured a lifetime of verbal assaults by the scribes and the Pharisees and the multitudes on the mount, they must have thought they had died and gone to heaven. That is very true. Because of the oppression economically and socially and politically, the people, when they heard Jesus speak these words, and when we read these words and know that applies to us today, it should make us happy. Not only happiness, you know, is in Jesus Christ, but the joy of having Christ Jesus, like the little girl said, that lives inside us, should show through. That is the joy. That is the happiness that Jesus is talking about here. And the multitudes, they must, as they sat there listening to Jesus speak these words, they thought, boy, this is heaven. This is what we've been looking for. And yet so many rejected Christ because they didn't accept Him as a Messiah, but yet there He was in their presence speaking the words of the Heavenly Father directly to them through the only begotten Son, and yet they did not comprehend. Not all of them. Even the disciples at times had disbelief. See, Jesus, He painted a different picture. He showed them a God who wanted them to be happy, who wanted to fill their lives with satisfaction. He wanted to fill their lives with contentment and delight. G. Campbell Morgan wrote that blessed is a word full of sunshine, thrilling with music, thriving with music, beaming over with just what man is seeking. Like people coming during Jesus when He was here on earth, come to Philip and said, someone is seeking you, Jesus. Somebody is looking for you, Jesus. People will come, where is this man called Jesus? Talking to a young boy yesterday that was here in at our graduation. His name is Darius. And he's in our Good News Club in our fourth grade. Darius is a fault, well, he lives with a family, and one of his prayers was that he be adopted all the way through the sessions that we had each week. His prayer was He wanted to be adopted. And I told Darius, I said, we'll be praying for that. We'll pray that you will find a family that will love you and adopt you and make you a part of their family. He sat and he listened intently Monday after Monday as we sung and as we shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of Christ. And it was time for us to sing again, and all the kids went to the back. He came up to the front because I had just finished the message on that we had for that day. And he said, Pastor Mike, he said, I got a lot of questions. And I said, well, I'll do what I can to answer them for you. And he began to ask about salvation and all of these things that was heavily upon his heart and his mind. And as we talked and so forth, I said, Darius, I believe that you're wanting to ask Jesus Christ to save you. And he said, yes. I said, you want to do that right now? And he said, I do. And as we talked and so forth, of course, it was singing. It was real noisy in there. And it was hard to hear everything that Darius was saying. So I talked to him a little bit and explained everything, what he would need to do. And I said, I'm going to send you out to our counselors out in the room where it's quiet and everything, and you tell them exactly what you've told me, and you can receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And he did. He came back in, and he shared with me, I did it. And now, you know, he wants to be adopted by a family of someone. But you guess what? He was adopted into the family of God. He was adopted into the family of God. And after he came back, we talked, and I said, you know what? You made the most important decision in your life, Darius. And I said, you was adopted into the family of God. And one of these days, God's going to place you into the home where you can live and be a part of a family, and you're a part of the family of God. And I talked to him yesterday, and he said, you know, and he was thinking that Versailles Baptist Church was just a preschool church. And I said it straight on. I said, no, Darius, it's a church. It's a regular church where you can come and worship and get involved and do something for the Lord. He said, I think I'd like that. I don't see him this morning, but he said, but he's going to another church right now because somebody's coming and getting him and taking him. And he hadn't been baptized yet, but he wants to be baptized. And I said, I'll do that. I'll baptize you, Darius. But whatever church you're going to, God bless you. And if you're baptized there, wonderful. But you see what I'm talking about, being a new life in Christ in Darius. You know, I can just see the Lord shining through his life. Well, in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, it says, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you hear what that says? Looking for the blessed hope. There's that blessed. There's that happiness, the hope of happiness. My friend Jimmy, he said, just 2 weeks ago, that he was looking forward to seeing his brother, and he was looking forward to seeing the Lord. He said, don't get me wrong, I'm not ready to leave today, but he said, I'm looking for that hope, that eternal hope that we have. And that's what Titus 2:13 is saying here, looking for that blessed hope and the appearing of the glory, the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. You see, when God shows through, the world will see not only happy people, for happiness is not based on just happenstance or circumstance, but they'll see something deeper than that when we have Christ, when we see the true nature of what it is to be blessed by God. So, not only are we a happy people, but a whole person, a whole people. See, the Beatitudes are a self-portrait of Christ. That which we would see if God were living in the body of a man. And God's purpose, according to Romans 8:29, is for every Christian to be conformed to the image of Christ. Therefore, it's reasonable to draw these following conclusion, that the Beatitudes describe the evidence of a yielded life, a surrendered life. See, they're not to be produced by, but the Christian, produced by the Christian, but in the Christian. The Beatitudes is to be produced in our lives. That's why Christ is to live through, flow through our lives. And they tell us what people will see in the life that is surrendered to the Lord. See, the Beatitudes are not a standard for me to achieve, but a yardstick by which to measure my submission to the Holy Spirit. See, my focus is on walking in the Spirit, being submissive to the Holy Spirit, because I know that if the Holy Spirit is in control of my life, He will manifest these qualities. And Jesus is saying, I want to manifest these qualities in your life. See, it says, the Beatitudes describe the evidence of a yielded life. Poor in spirit. That means we got to empty our life and be filled. Like the psalmist David in Psalms 23, my cup overflows because of the Lord's goodness and mercy. See, having a humble and sober and self-image, this is an individual self-examination that we should take each day. Just like when 1 Corinthians chapter 11, before we take communion, it says, let a man examine himself. So we are examining ourselves, see where we are. Are we being yielded to the Holy Spirit? Are we surrendering to the Holy Spirit in our life? We all want to feel good about ourselves, right? We all want to feel good about ourselves. And if we're right, and if we're in the right relationship with the Lord, we will feel good about ourselves. We will feel right, and it will shine through. Seeing ourselves adequate comes by seeing the Lord in His glory. Isaiah saw the Lord, said, woe is me. Before I come before the people, I've got to take care of my own life, the business in my own life. That's why Isaiah. And Isaiah, at that time when he said that, he was discouraged because of the decline in of the people and the resistance of the people turning away from God. And he became so discouraged himself, it caused him to sin because of doubt and the assurance that he had in his own life. And that's why he said, oh, woe is me. But then God spoke to him and said, and then he said, the Lord send me. Because he cleansed him and forgave him of his sinful nature. And then he was ready to preach even when the people wouldn't listen to him. And Peter saw the Lord and said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Think about it. Peter, who walked with God, realized his own condition and said, Lord, I'm not even worthy to walk where you tread, where you walk. And then Saul, before he became Paul, felt very spiritually wealthy and had the attitude that if anybody's going to heaven, he was, right? But only on the road to Damascus, you know, he got a glimpse of the Lord and became physically blind. But spiritually, he could see for the first time who he really was. That's Paul. He got saved. And all it began when he began poor in spirit, and his is the kingdom of heaven. See, Blessed is the poor in spirit, for thine is the kingdom of heaven. And that happened to Paul on the road to Damascus. He became humble in spirit. Mourn is brokenness. See, this is about our sin, to mourn. Earlier I said that Jesus wept because of Lazarus. He wept over Israel. He wept because of the sins of the world. But here, mourn also means we weep over our sin. This is when we realize that our sin breaks God's heart, and then our heart is breaking over to the surrendering and the mercy of Jesus. And then meek is submissiveness. This is about our Savior, the power under control. It's a picture of a horse that has been broken. It's the horse becomes meek, not weak. See, meekness does not mean weakness, but it means a surrender and a humbleness. It's us being under God's management or under His control. So as we look at all of the Beatitudes and what God wants to do in our lives, the happiest people in the world are those who yield themselves to experience of God's grace. Because He extends mercy, He extends grace. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says, when we come to His throne, when we have the burdens and the infirmities of our life, and we come to Him, we lay them at the altar or at the cross, it says that we will find grace and we will find mercy in time of need. And Jesus looked at all those multitudes there as He looks out over this congregation, every congregation, every person in the world, and He asked compassion. And He said, if you'll follow Me, if we change your character, if you change your habits, your ways of the world, then you can be happy in Me. You can be joyful in Me. See, that's conditions of being poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. And then He goes on in latter verses, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who show mercy. Blessed are those who are persecuted for My sake and yet don't give up. See, the Beatitudes is a word used for happiness for those who want to walk in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can do it at home, you can do it at work, you can do it at school, you can do it wherever you go. Because the Lord said, I will be with you. I will give you the words. I will tell you exactly what you say at the right time. And those who meet you, you can say also, blessed are you. Blessed are the poor in spirit. So you can have the kingdom of God. What a blessed, blessed, wonderful experience to have when Christ offers you happiness and joy of life. Our Father, we thank You this morning. We thank You for Your presence in our life. We thank You that You love us. And You are willing to share the greatest message that's ever been preached. And You spoke it. To assure the people that there is more than life in this world, but there's life beyond this world that we'll experience for forever and ever in heaven. Anyone here today, Lord, that doesn't know You personally, I just pray that through Your message, through Your Spirit, speaking to us personally, that we understand of Your great love, Your sacrifice, the penalty of sin that You paid. And the wages of sin is death. And Lord, You paid that debt. Anyone here, Lord, that needs to just reassure, rededicate, or renew their life. Lord, they can do that as well this morning. Anyone here that's looking for a church home, Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would give them the peace and understanding where you want them, where they can serve, where they can be a part of a great fellowship such as for Sales Baptist Church. You're an awesome God, Lord, and you love us and you care for us, and you want us to run to you for help or any need that we have. And you will give us all the peace and all the joy that we deserve. We don't deserve anything, but you're willing to give it to us if we're willing to come to you and confess our sins. Lord, I praise you and I thank you for this invitation that we're going to sing. God will take care of every one of us. That's your promise. And we praise you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to be singing here.